All right. Well, as you can see by the screen, we are beginning a series tonight that I'm really excited about. I felt led of the Lord to go in this direction, and what I'm going to do is spend several weeks on talking about the book of Proverbs, which is probably one of, if not the, my favorite book in the Bible. Love the book of Proverbs. And then what I want to do maybe is, if the Lord leads, I'd love to do kind of an overview of the entire Bible, give you some insight into some of the books of the Bible, you know, not spend a whole lot of in-depth time on them, but just so you can have a good working knowledge of all 66 books and just look at those things, who wrote it, and so forth and so on. So we'll see if that's the direction that the Lord wants us to go in. But for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the book of Proverbs. So let's go to Job chapter 28, Job chapter 28. And the scriptures will be on the screen for you. Again, if you miss anything, all of this is on the website, on the sermon. So if you miss a note or something, don't worry about it. You can always go back and follow up and get it later on. So Job chapter 28 and verse 12, Job 28 verse 12. Not everything that's said in the book of Job is wrong. There were some good things that were said, and we see that here in this particular chapter. And the scripture says, "But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" Verse 13 says, "Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living." How many of you know men, people, are always looking for wisdom somewhere? You know the old cartoon where you see the guy that climbs the high mountain to go reach the guru that sits on top of the mountain, you know, to seek wisdom. You know, men are always looking for wisdom. People are always trying to get wisdom. And so it says, man doesn't know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me, meaning the depths of the ocean. And the sea says, it's not with me. It cannot, wisdom cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir. By the way, that's just a reference. The gold of Ophir was very, very, very pure gold, and it was mined and used a lot during Solomon's reign. And so it cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. But God understands its way. God understands wisdom. God understands wisdom because wisdom comes from Him. And He knows its place. For He looks to the ends of the earth and He sees under the whole heavens to establish a way for the wind and a portion the waters by measure, when He made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then He saw it and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, He searched it out, and to man He said, behold, look, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So God has and is all of the wisdom that we can possibly imagine. People search for wisdom among things in nature. You know, you see it kind of in our culture today a lot where people are trying to relate to nature to find wisdom. Wisdom can't be found in nature. Nature came out of wisdom. So you're not going to be able to look to wisdom to find nature. You can see some things about God the Scripture teaches us, but you're not going to learn wisdom from those things. The Scripture tells us that God is the one who created wisdom. So what we need to understand is everything else revolves around the wisdom of God. So God and His wisdom are at the center. So here's the first point of what I want you to see in this, and that is God is the source of all wisdom. God is the source of all wisdom. If you need wisdom tonight, you need to go to the one who is the source of all wisdom, and that is God. And so let's begin. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and let's start with verse 2, and this is the purpose of Proverbs, and we'll get into some details about the actual book in just a moment, but Solomon wrote this. He said, Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, and then here's what we're getting to. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So God is the source of all wisdom, but what I want you to see is the reverence or the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So you know, of course, when we read the fear of the Lord, what it's talking about is a reverential respect or a reverential awe. So here's what I want you to see. The reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. You know, people that try and find wisdom apart from God aren't ever going to be able to discover it, because the scripture clearly tells us it's only when you begin to revere God that you're going to begin to gain and understand wisdom. All right, so let me ask you a question. Where does wisdom come from? From God. He is the originator of it, okay? So let's look at a scripture in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay, so let me ask a question. Are God and His Word equal? All right, where does wisdom come from? Okay, so then would it be safe to say, based on these scriptures, that wisdom comes from the Word of God? All right, go on in this. Let's finish this. It says, "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made." So here's the thing. Proverbs tells us that if you want to find wisdom, you got to begin by reverencing God. Here's what I want to do to connect these dots, and that is this. Wisdom comes from reverencing the Word of God. All right? You and I have to have a holy respect and awe of the Word of God, because everything originates from the Word of God. All right? So let's talk about for just a moment. If wisdom comes from reverencing the Word of God, the scriptures that we read in Proverbs told us, or use two phrases, knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom. So let's define what those two things are. What is knowledge? Well, knowledge is simply taking in the Word of God. If you were looking at it outside of the kingdom of God, you might say knowledge is acquiring information. Acquiring information. But in the context of the Word of God, knowledge is taking in the Word of God. But that is not enough. To have, a lot of knowledge of the Bible is awesome, but you know what? It does you no good unless you do something else, and that is you apply it, all right? Now, I know a lot of people that are Christian people that love God and know a lot about the Bible, but they have very little wisdom, very little wisdom. And by the way, let me say this, wisdom and common sense in a lot of regard are very much connected, okay? All right, you see a lot of spiritual people that don't have much common sense. They know a lot about spiritual things, but they don't know wisdom. And here's why. Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge from God's Word. Wisdom is the ability to correctly apply the Word of God to your life. And so what we're going to do in this study of Proverbs is we're going to learn some wisdom, very, very practical wisdom. Like the slide said at the very beginning, that really Proverbs is all about everyday wisdom, things that you and I can apply to our lives every single day. And so we need to understand these things. And so knowledge is taking in the Word of God, and really wisdom is being able to act on it, to be able to get it outside into your life. All right. Proverbs 1, verse 1 says this. We didn't read this a moment ago, but it says this, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Now, I want to take just a moment and I want to just enlighten you a little bit. How did Solomon become who he was? Well, what we get a hint from this verse. Whose son was he? Was Solomon? Who was his father? David was his father, okay? Well, what we find out by reading history in some of the other books in the Bible and then just study is that we find out David had many children by several different wives. Of course, this was very common in that culture. But what I want you to understand is David did not begin to teach his children wisdom until he got to Solomon. And actually, it was after one of his older sons, Absalom, had died. Now, you can go on. I'm not going to get into everything that happened with Absalom, but Absalom created a lot of problems for David. Tried to steal the kingdom of Israel from David. Tried to kill David and take over the entire kingdom. So what happened? Well, the thing that you need to understand is David failed in teaching some of his children wisdom. He failed. He dropped the ball. Now, thank God for his mercy and his grace, but what I want you to see is with Absalom and another son that David had who was Adonijah, he did not take the time to impart to them wisdom that he had learned from God. He didn't do that until Absalom had died and Solomon was beginning to grow and then one day was going to be taking over the throne. And so David began to train him. So the wisdom that we see coming into Solomon's life came directly from David. Now here's why I say this. It is very important for you and for me to pass on the word that we know and we act on in our lives to the next generation. It's extremely important. And I'm talking about parents teaching children and imparting those things to them. Because if you want your children to be successful in life, we must do that. And it's our responsibility as adults to pass on that word into the next generation. And so Solomon, here's the interesting thing. Solomon gained all the wisdom that he got from David. But did you know Solomon dropped the ball just like David did? Solomon had a son named Rehoboam. And towards the end of Solomon's reign, he began to kind of lose it. That's where you read the book of Ecclesiastes and so forth. And you know, he was beginning to lose a grasp on reality. And so he did not impart wisdom into Rehoboam. And Rehoboam did the same thing to Solomon that Absalom did to David. And so, you know, we have this misunderstanding in our culture that, you know, if you'll just let children figure it out themselves. Okay, there's nothing farther from the truth. The scripture says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and there's two things that will drive it out, and that is discipline and the word of God. Okay, I know discipline is not real popular in our culture today, but it's biblical. I didn't say abuse, I said discipline, all right? So anyway, let's talk about what a proverb is. Simple definition, a proverb is a simple two-line poem. Biblically speaking, a proverb is a simple two-line poem. For those of you who like a little more in-depth, like the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew mashal, okay? That's what the word proverb comes from. I had to look this up when I got this out of the concordance. I had to look up what the word maxim is. It says a properly or pithy maxim. I didn't understand what a maxim was. A maxim is simply a principle. It's a principle. And so a proverb is a properly placed principle. Usually in the Bible, it's of a metaphorical nature. You'll see comparisons between one thing to another or a simile where you see things like that. Here's the other thing, and this is really important. A proverb becomes a rule or a standard. A rule or a standard. Now, this is why this is used. Let me say this. Anybody ever planted I was trying to think of the type of plant. I've got one at home that likes to run out of the pot and onto the top of the table that it's sitting on. Okay, did you know that if you put a stick in that pot and attach that plant to that stick, what would it do? It would begin winding around that stick and it would stay in that particular point. Well, that's the illustration, that's the picture that's given to us of a proverb. A proverb is a standard, that stick is a standard. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to let the proverb be the thing that we adhere to so it will govern our lives. And so the principles of God's word are what we're supposed to attach to, hang on to, so we're not going crazy all over the table like that plant will. All right? So let me skip this. This is a verse that I quoted. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far. Okay, we already talked about that. All right, let's talk about this a little bit more. The book of Proverbs, even though verse 1 says it's the Proverbs of Solomon, the entire book is not written by Solomon. There are two other kings that had Proverbs that were put in. We're going to read a scripture in a little while that talks about there were over 3,000 Proverbs that Solomon wrote or Solomon said. Thank God we don't have them all, because it would mean our Bible would be about this thick. Okay, but we have a good 31 chapters of them. But look at this. In Proverbs 30, verse 1, it says that these words, this section of Proverbs, are the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, his utterance, the man declared Ithiel to Ithiel and Ukal. So this particular section in Proverbs 30 was written by a man named Agur. All right. Then we see in Proverbs 31, anybody ever read about the virtuous woman? Okay. Well, this was actually written by another king. This wasn't written by Solomon. Solomon had a woman issue, by the way, if you ever study his life. He had some woman problems, okay? So maybe that's why God had somebody else write this and about the virtuous woman. But Proverbs 31 verse 1 says this, these are the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. So we know this is somebody. I've heard theologians say, well, that was another reference to Solomon. Well, but it can't be, because we have a record that says David taught Solomon. This guy, his mother taught him. Okay, so we know that other people had input into the book of Proverbs, all right? So, but nobody can dispute that Solomon was the wisest man or wisest king that has ever lived, other than Jesus Christ. Okay, he had so much wisdom, so much knowledge and insight into the things of God that people sought him out. Matter of fact, the scripture makes reference of other wisdom in the world. The scripture makes reference in 1 Kings chapter 4. It says this, thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. Now, I want you to stop and think about something for just a moment. Don't just read through that verse and just skip over it. Think about the wisdom that the Egyptians had. You know, we're still trying to figure out today how they built the pyramids. We don't know how they did it. They did it, and they had wisdom to be able to do it. But the Bible says Solomon, his wisdom excelled even the Egyptians. You know, there are other things about the Egyptian culture that we don't understand. We don't fully understand their mummification techniques. I mean, how can they dig people up that lived 4,000 years ago and they're still intact body-wise, okay? So these guys really had a lot of wisdom as far as different things in life. Didn't have godly wisdom, but they had wisdom, okay? But Solomon's wisdom excelled them all. Then you have another nation that's made reference to in Isaiah 47:10, talking about the wisdom of Babylon. Early in that chapter, it's talking, the whole thing is written to Babylon, and it says this, for you have trusted in your wickedness, you have said, no one sees me, your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. So there was a lot of pride in Babylon, and of course, you know, I could go into a lot of history. But Babylon is what is now known as modern-day Iraq. You know, for those of you who are interested in that kind of history, if you go back and you study the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar and you read what historians outside of a biblical context have said about him, anybody ever heard of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon? They were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Nobody can figure out how this guy in the middle of the desert had enough wisdom and knowledge. You know, and you can Google and see pictures, artist conceptions of what this looked like. In the middle of the desert, you've seen Iraq on TV now. It's not very lush at all. But in the middle of all of this desert and sand, King Nebuchadnezzar had this huge palace that had these floating gardens that were flowing with just greenery. There was greenery everywhere. Everything was lush. And they can't figure out how he did it. And so it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But the scripture says that God's wisdom excels even the wisdom of the Babylonians. And then there's another reference in Jeremiah chapter 49 in verse 7, talking about the wisdom of Edom. Now, when you read about the Edomites in the Bible, just so you have a little point of reference, the Edomites lived to the southeast of Israel in what is now modern-day Jordan, okay? And so when you read about the Edomites, it says this, against Edom, thus says the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman, that was a capital, has counsel perished from the prudent, has their wisdom vanished. And so even the wisdom of Edom is noted about in the Bible. However, the wisdom of God and the wisdom that God gave Solomon far exceeded what the wisdom was of these nations. Now let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. And it says this, And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Esrahite and Heman the Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. So God poured out so much wisdom into Solomon's life that he was known worldwide. In the known world at that time, everybody knew about the wisdom of Solomon. You might have read in the scriptures where it talks about that the Queen of Sheba even came up from Eastern Africa up to Jerusalem to visit Solomon because of his wisdom. And we don't have record of what the questions were that she asked him, but apparently she posed some pretty tough questions. He was able to answer all of her questions. God gave him all of the wisdom that she needed. And so they had a great relationship. But look at this. Verse 32 says this. He, Solomon, spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Now think about that. Michael Jackson wrote a lot of songs. Mariah Carey's written a lot of songs, but ain't none of them written 1,005 songs. Okay? Solomon wrote 1,005 songs, and he spoke 3,000 proverbs. And so obviously we don't have all that was recorded that Solomon did. And we're going to touch on this in just a little bit, but you know, historians have recorded that during Solomon's reign, there was so much wealth in Israel that other countries would bring gold into Israel, would bring silver into Israel, and the silver was piled up high in piles because they had so much of it, they couldn't figure out uses for it. Can you imagine that kind of wealth today? I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever tried to figure out exactly how wealthy Solomon was and how wealthy the kingdom was at that time, but it was absolutely mind-blowing. But it all came about as a result of wisdom. It says, verse 33, and he spoke of trees. So in the Proverbs that we're going to see, he speaks of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, and of creeping things, and of fish. And men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The queen of the south, Jesus said, will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But get this, Jesus said, the one standing in front of you is greater than even Solomon is. Now here's why I say that, because I want you to see that you have access to this wisdom. Okay? Jesus lives on the inside of you. You're his child, and so someone greater than Solomon is in you and part of your life. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 says this, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God. So Jesus has made available to us the wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So Solomon was absolutely an awesome individual. He received so much knowledge and insight and wisdom from God. But here's the question, how did Solomon get his wisdom? How did he get it? Would anybody like to know? Okay, I would. Thank you. I'd like to know. So let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 6. Now here's where we're going to start getting really practical. All right? So Solomon is now king of Israel, and Israel by this time is unified. The kingdom is reunified. And it says, and Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Okay, and I want to stop right there. If you want to gain access to the wisdom of God, you're going to do it through and by primarily starting with worship. Okay, now obviously, thank God, we're still not required to offer animal sacrifices. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we don't have to, you know, every Passover got to get on a plane and fly over to Israel and sacrifice animals? We don't have to do all that kind of stuff because of what Jesus did. But here's the thing that I want you to see is that Solomon did something. He moved the heart of God when he gave these sacrifices. 1,000 sacrifices, okay? So after Solomon gets through worshiping, look what happens in verse 7. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude." Now here's the request. "Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours?" So I want to just stop and map this out for you. So Solomon goes through this tremendous act of worship. God comes and visits him after this act of worship and basically says this, "Ask me for anything you want." How would you like God to show up in your life and say, "Ask me for anything that you want"? You want to do that? You want to see that? You want to experience that? Then approach God with worship. Now here's the thing. It wasn't just haphazard, casual. It was on purpose, very intentional worship. And then God shows up and asks Solomon, ask anything of me. So Solomon takes some very, very, very bold steps. I don't know that I would have done this. I'd like to believe that I would have said the same thing. You know, "Hey, God, I need wisdom because now I'm king and I want wisdom on how to lead these people, how to deal with them and serve them and judge them." And so, you know, I would like to believe that I would have said that. But, you know, the question is, would you have said that? Or would you have said, "Lord, help me pay off my debt. I want a big house," you know, all that kind of stuff. All right. But here's the thing. So how did Solomon get wisdom? It's very common sense. He asked for it. He asked for it. I am firmly convinced that a lot of times in our lives, the reason we do not experience the wisdom of God is because we fail to ask for it. We fail to ask for it. And I believe part of it is, you know, a lot of the things that we deal with in life, we kind of say, "Well, that's not a big deal. You know, I don't want to bother God with the little things in my life." You need to understand something. God is interested in every detail of your life. And he wants you to have wisdom for every detail that you deal with, the small things and the big things. All right? So matter of fact, he said this in James chapter 1, verse 5. He said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach." In other words, you can ask him for wisdom. He's going to give it to you, and he's not going to give it to you with some kind of attitude. That's basically what that says. Like, you know, I don't know why you're asking. No, it says that he'll give it to you liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to you. And he says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." So Solomon got the wisdom that he received from heaven because he asked for it. So if you need wisdom in your life, and we all do, then you need to learn to ask for it. All right? So how are you going to get wisdom? Well, wisdom comes when we ask God for it. When we ask God for it. You know, and God is such a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. If you come off like, "I got this," you know what God says? "Okay, have at it." And then he comes back to you a little while later and says, "How's that working out for you?" And you know, then what we do in our pride, we go, "Okay, it's good. I'm good." All right. Instead of, "You know what, God, I should have come back to you and I should have said, hey, I need some help with this." All right. So go to God and ask God for wisdom, because wisdom comes when we ask God for it. All right. Now, wisdom is not some deep, mysterious thing that's only applicable to those spiritual things, but it is applicable to every area of your life. How to deal with money, how to deal with your family, how to deal with your children, how to deal on your job. Everything is covered in the book of Proverbs. And if you really read it and go into detail and study it, you will find principles in the Bible that will cover every aspect of your life and will show you wisdom. All right? Now, I want you to see something in a scripture in Job chapter 28, verse 28. We read this earlier, but look at this. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. What that means is the potential for you to have the wisdom of God begins the moment you give your heart to Christ. The moment you get saved, you depart from evil. All right? So the potential for you to have the wisdom of God, and we're going to see in a little bit, is really unlimited. 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 You have, and I have, at our disposal, a resource from heaven through and by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit that is absolutely unlimited. We are the ones that put the limitations on it. We are the ones that say, well, you know, God's really not interested in that. We're the ones that say, we don't say this, but in our minds we're thinking, I'm not sure God can handle that. Okay, really? God, we're talking the creator of the universe here, the one who knows it all right? So, go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and look, God continues the conversation. So after Solomon asked for wisdom, God shows up, and he says this to him. Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, what was in his heart? To ask for wisdom. And you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge the people over whom I have made you king. Then God gave it to him. All right? Now I want you to notice something. Notice it says two primary things: riches, wealth, and honor, okay, and health and long life. Riches, wealth, and honor, and health and long life. Riches, wealth, and honor, health and long life. All right? You got that? So on this side is riches, wealth, and honor. On this side, health and long life. All right? Solomon did not ask for either. Okay? Now that's important. Go over with me to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. This is an awesome scripture. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. You want to be happy? Get some wisdom. All right? Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who and the man who gains understanding, for her. Now, I want to stop right here and I want to say this. From this point on in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is now referred to as a beautiful, virtuous woman. All right? You're going to find two women described in the book of Proverbs. You're going to find wisdom that comes from heaven, described as a beautiful, virtuous woman. And then you're going to find the wisdom of man that's referred to as a whore. I'm just being plain. Okay? So Solomon draws this comparison for us so that we can understand. So, or I guess the politically correct word is harlot. Excuse me. Okay? And so look at verse 14 again. For her wisdom's proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Now look at verse 16. Length of days is in her left hand. Okay. What did Solomon not ask for? Riches, honor, and wealth, and health and long life. Point is this. If you get wisdom, you get all of it. The problem is we seek one or the other, okay? Or we seek everything else but the wisdom that we need. But here's what you need to understand is in the hands of wisdom is health and long life and wealth and riches and honor, okay? And I think we need to understand this. God has no problem with you having both. You know, well, I know, Pastor, that Jesus is a healer and all that, but that wealth and riches and honor stuff, I don't know about all that. No, it's God wants you to experience both. Now, wealth is relative, okay? Doesn't imply that you're going to be a trillionaire. that you're going to have gazillions of dollars and all of that. But wealth is relative. As we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, wealth is relative. If you have your needs taken care of and you're in a position to meet the needs of other people, you're wealthy. Let me just say this. Just by nature of the fact you're an American, you have more wealth than two-thirds of the world. Think about that. All right? So we're blessed just by the very nature that we live where we live. But here's what I want you to see. Length of days, and then health is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Then he goes on, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now notice he said two things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take hold of wisdom, and you're going to have to retain wisdom. You're going to have to take hold of wisdom, and you're going to have to retain wisdom. All right? So, how do you get wisdom? You ask God for it. Where is wisdom going to come from? From God through the Word of God. All right? So if you're going to take hold of wisdom, then you're going to have to go to the Word to find the wisdom. All right? You tracking with me? Now, how then do you retain it? All right? So we gain wisdom by asking God for it. We retain wisdom by meditating in the Word of God. We retain wisdom by meditating in the Word of God. Now, let me just, for the point of reference, define what meditation is. Meditation is simply spending time thinking about and concentrating on, focusing on the Word of God in your thinking. All right? That's what meditation is. It's not sitting there with your legs crossed and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. All right, meditate, that is a type of meditation that they do in the Far East, but that's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is where you spend time thinking about the Word of God. And let me say this to you, and you might want to just jot this down. An easy way to meditate the Word of God is this. Envision your life being lived out in the context of God's Word. Envision your life being lived out in the context of God's Word. What do you mean? Well, let me tell you, if God says wisdom can be yours, and in her right hand are health and long life, and in her left hand are riches and honor and wealth, then meditating in the Word of God is you and me taking time to say, what would my life look like if I had health and long life and wealth and riches and honor? What would my life look like? What would I do different? How would I behave? Because I want to see myself living out my life in line with the Word of God. So that's what meditation is, in the Word of God. Now, all of you look like you're pretty sharp individuals. Is anybody in here not a sharp individual? Okay, thank you. Nobody raise their hands. All right. So I believe as sharp individuals, you want to succeed, don't you? Okay. That sounded kind of halfway, but I'll take your word for it. So let's go and let's look at a verse in, or a couple of verses in the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says this, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law or the word of the Lord, and in his word he meditates day and night. Now I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to put a little shameless plug in for a future installment of this series. Proverbs tells you how to meditate on the Word of God at night. Okay, not going to tell you, but we'll get there. All right? So you delight in the Word of God, and in his word you meditate, you think about it. You're focused on it day and night. Now, I'm not saying, nor is God implying, that you get weird, that you get fired, or anything else because you got weird. No, there is a way to do this, and you remain perfectly normal and able to deal with everyday life, okay? All right, so here's what the results of that are, though. He says this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And whatever he does shall prosper. How would you like to be in a position that everything you do prospers? Oh, I don't know about that. That just sounds too good to be true. Well, argue with David. I didn't write it. God said, if you will delight in His Word and meditate in His Word day and night, then He would cause whatever you do to succeed and prosper. I don't know about you. I'm going to take it. All right? I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to endeavor to walk in it. All right? Let's go over to Joshua chapter 1 and look at what the Lord told Joshua. He said in verse 7, Joshua 1, 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the word which Moses my servant commanded you. Look at this. Do not turn from it to the, or to the, okay, in other words, don't turn from the word and seek the health and the long life or the riches and wealth and honor. Keep your eyes focused on the word of God. And he said that you may prosper wherever you go. And then goes on in verse 8 to say that this book of the law or the word of God shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Look at this scripture right here. Is there anywhere in this verse that it says God will make your way prosperous? What does it say? If you will do, if you'll meditate in the Word of God and see yourself doing what it says, then you will make your way prosperous. See, that's what wisdom does when it goes to work in your life. When you get wisdom and you get it down on the inside of you, Jesus taught us that out of the abundance of the heart, you speak and you act. But the thing that I want you to see is when you have the wisdom of God, you start doing some smart stuff. And you get to the point where you quit making stupid mistakes that get us all in trouble. All right? I don't know about you, but I made my share of them. All right? I'm ready to flip the coin and do the other. All right? Anybody with me? All right? Look at 3 John 2. Okay, 3 John 2 says this, Beloved, I pray, John praying, he says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So what this verse tells me is there is no limitation to how well you can do. It's only to the degree that your soul prospers and wisdom gets to you in your soul. All right? Now, I want to go back, and then we're going to wrap this up with this right here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 again, says this, The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, the purpose of Proverbs is this, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. All right? So the word wisdom in verse 2, where it says to know wisdom, the word wisdom there, I'm going to put the Hebrew up there so you can see it. It's the Hebrew word chokmah. Sounds like Klingon, but it's chokmah. For those of you who don't know what Klingon is, don't worry about it, okay? All right? You can tell I watch Star Trek. Okay, but here's the thing that I want you to see. It means skillful wisdom, but here's the thing. In the Hebrew language, it literally means to pound it in. To pound it in. To get wisdom pounded in you. Now, I want to illustrate this. I want to ask you a question. I know for some of us, like myself, this was a long time ago. But does anybody remember this little thing in school you learned called the multiplication tables? Okay, if I ask you right now, what is 2 times 2? Okay, some of you are a little slow. How about 2 times 3? Okay, how about 9 times 9? All right, you know how you're able to rattle that off so quick? Is because when we, I don't, this new math that they're doing today, don't ask me about that, but I know old school that the multiplication tables were pounded in me to the point where I sat down with pieces of paper that had all the 8s and all the 9s and all the 2s, and you had to memorize all of those things to the point where we, anybody have flashcards? where your mom would sit there and hold a flashcard up to you, and you and she had the answer on the back, but you know it would say what times what equals this, and you just got it drilled in you. That's what this word wisdom means in verse 2. And what I want you to understand is that if we can give the same diligence to multiplication tables, why can't we give the same diligence to the Word of God? Where we get it pounded on the inside of us. Because here I am some 40 some odd years later and I'm still able to rattle off the multiplication tables. And some of y'all are in the same boat. Why? Because it was pounded in us. How much more if we take the time and give the Word that same level of attention that we need wisdom, that it'll be down on the inside of us, and when we need it, that wisdom will come up. That wisdom will come up out of us, just like the multiplication tables. And that's what God's wanting for each and every one of us. So I am really excited about this series, and I think we're going to learn a lot about wisdom. We're going to learn a lot about the Bible. We're going to learn a lot about God in this. And so I just encourage you, keep coming back. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, thank you that the word that we've heard, I believe, Father, that it'll resonate on the inside of us. And Father, we do like Solomon. We ask for wisdom. Wisdom for everyday things in our lives, Father. Things that we encounter everywhere we go, with the people that we encounter, the situations we encounter. We desire your wisdom, Father. We don't desire the health and the long life per se, or the wealth and honor and riches. Father, we know that that comes with wisdom. So we keep our eyes focused on you and on your word, and we believe that we receive the wisdom of God, and we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.